Good evening. I don't know if I've ever done a 50-minute devotional, but we're going to give it a whirl. I want to start with a couple of analogies that'll kind of set the stage for what I want to share with this evening. The first analogy is in business. I have a small business, and I've decided that I want to do a 50-50 split with Jesse. So we go to the lawyers, we get all the legal documents of JDC, we divide right down the middle, we even define the roles that each partner is going to do in the company, and so all the revenues that are generated from that company will be split right down the middle. It's not happening anytime soon, Jesse, but just so you know. No, I'm just kidding. So when we do that, we become partners in business. And so after we've done that and we progress to do jobs, I find Jesse getting up at 9 in the morning, showing up at 10, not running, not fulfilling his obligations of the partnership. That wouldn't be very fair, would it? Because we're equal partners. And so because we've done it in a legal way, he's required to take 50% of the load. And so that would, we would all, I think, would agree that that's just not fair. That's not right. It's not going to work. That's the first analogy. The second analogy is we're going to have a potluck in our home. We're going to invite 30 people. And a potluck, as you know, we do it often here, and we have great potlucks because everyone seems to bring lots of good stuff. But this particular potluck, the success of a potluck is in what people bring. Those that prepare a nice dish or those that maybe just stop at Needs and grab a bag of chips last minute. So the idea of the potluck, the success of it is the partnership of everyone bringing something for the success of the potluck. Would you agree? So I want to use those two analogies. I want to speak about our partnership here. Now, our partnership, if you're saved here this evening, we've been given everything. We've become co-heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. We've received salvation, forgiveness of sins, and he's asked us to come in partnership with him, in community with him, in everything that he does. And that's represented by this local assembly here, as it is in many assemblies. And so that's what I want to speak a little bit about this evening, because I've been, what provoked me to think about this was late Sunday night, I got a call around 9 o'clock, or sorry, Saturday night, to speak in Summerside. Josh Poole called, something must have happened. He wasn't able to do it. Kelly and I were watching a show on TV, and I've never really, very few times have I said no. So I said, okay, shut that TV off, go into my study, and I had nothing. I went to some old messages, and I just couldn't come up with anything, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I had no preparation, and I spent about an hour, not an hour, maybe 45 minutes an hour, and I said, you know what, Kel, I'm just going to decline. It's too late. I don't have anything. It got me thinking about preparation and being in partnership in a local assembly and what actually does that look like acting out? Like, what does it look like to be in partnership here in this local assembly? What does it mean to be in partnership? We know the word in Acts. We often go there, Acts chapter 2, 38, 37 through 42, the early church. And all the things it says, they were collective in the breaking of bread, in teaching, doctrine. And the last verse of that little dialogue says, and they had all things in common. And I know that the book of Acts is a transitional book, and we talked much about descriptive or prescriptive, but I'd like to suggest this evening that it should be a little bit more descriptive. Or what we ought to be like as a community of believers. Now, we know that coming together here is You have to be here to be part of something. You can't not show up at any of the meetings and then be a part of it. I mean, I guess you could in some respects, but the idea is to be here, to be partnership, so that we can collectively do things together, and that is the design of a local assembly. It's not independence. We watch a show, Kelly and I, it's called Alone. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that show. It's pretty safe to watch. They get 12 contestants. The one that's going on right now is they sent them to the north, way up north. They got a bag of stuff, and you're on your own. Whoever lasts the longest gets $500,000. And so they're on their own. They have to fend for themselves, food, shelter, no communication from the outside world. They have a radio, a two-wave radio. They can tap out. And this present one, yeah, I think they're on day 64. There's three left. But we've watched all the seasons. And you know what is the common denominator about most of those people that tap out? Loneliness. God has not intended for us to be alone. We know in Genesis, he brought Adam, Eve as a helpmeet. Now, I know that's in the marital sense, but I think it also applies to the community sense. We're not islands. And even though we are different and get rubbed the wrong way, the local assembly is a functioning part of what God's design is. This group here is designed by God and it's owned by God, and he's given everything. And what he's asking us to do is to maintain the partnership. We need to maintain the partnership. I mean, looked at my notes, but notes are just a kind of a crutch sometimes to maybe to keep me in line with what we got. So I want to look at those two things, being in partnership. Now I want to talk first about, I want to preface, I've got actually five little things, reasons why we should be here together as a group, why we should be here together. But I want to preface them by two things that I think are predominantly against us when it comes to self-sufficiency. The first thing is money. Money is a big thing in the world today. Self-sufficiency. And I think sometimes I have to ask myself, I've been challenged by this myself. I run a little business. I have a reasonable measure of success, and I bring in X number of dollars. Do I, when I talk to my wife after I get paid from a larger job, do I say, is my mindset to prepare myself, set myself up for my future? Or is it the finances that I have set up for God's kingdom and the gospel outreach and his future? That is a challenging question. It's very challenging to me because I, most of the times, think in lines of comfort. I want to be comfortable. I want to save for the future, and I scheme, and I was at three different spots today looking at some jobs 6 months down the road that I'm going to make a good dollar at. And I wonder, and I challenge you, when you get your weekly paycheck or your old age pension, whatever it is, if you're old, you don't receive that, do you think of the kingdom of God and its furtherance, or do you think of your own comfort? Challenging. To me, it is definitely challenging. The second thing is, I want us to realize that us coming together as a group and giving of our, in relation to money again, us coming together and giving as a group, as we do in the business meeting, and we give to the work. The money that comes in here, the money that you give, if you do give, I don't know if you do, but if we do give, is it for the furtherance of this work and the furtherance of the kingdom? A couple challenging thoughts before we talk about why we should come together. The first thing, reason, these aren't new things, by the way. I'm sure many of you heard these reasons. The first thing, the reason that why we should come together is it's because it's commanded. It's a commandment. Over to Hebrews chapter I'm just going to go through the verses, Hebrews chapter 10. We can just go through them quickly. These are all verses that I'm sure you've heard before, but I think they need to remind us of why we come together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're commanded to be here, not as a legal obligation, not legality. We should desire to be here, but we are commanded to be in this building, whether it's in this building, but collectively together. It is not, he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some are doing. And we can, I'm not always here on a Wednesday night. I'm not always here, so I'm speaking to myself, but it is a command to come together. The second thing is we are not made as islands. In the Genesis, we know is in the marital bond, but he says, I need to make a helpmeet for Adam, a helper. And the idea of is, Adam, you're not good alone. You need someone. We're better together. We're better together. And there's Christians that live their whole lives and don't and wander and don't find themselves part of any community. I remember Rod, as a young believer, after I got saved, he says, be part of this place. Be part of it. And that doesn't mean, forgive me if I've stepped on any toes, filling a pew. Because partnership is an active thing. It's being part of something, is doing something. Whatever that may be, it doesn't matter, big or small, but be actively part of the gathering, of this local assembly, which he's commanded us to be here, and he's also, it's his. And he's given all the help, and we just need to maintain that partnership that he's given us in this local assembly. The third thing, it's for shaping and growth of your faith, and we get that by the ministry and the teaching of the Word of God. Not to say that we don't read our Bibles at home, but there's good teaching here. I really believe there's good teaching in this place. Comparatively, I'm not saying there isn't good teaching in other places, but there's good teaching here. I believe, by the grace of God, this place has been maintained. God has had his hand on this place. And so, you want to grow spiritually, you get in the Word at home, and then you get here and get under the sound of good teaching. And it'll help you grow spiritually. Grow up into Christ. We've heard that term, grow up into him. And so I think it's important to be here just to get teaching, not from a legal perspective. Don't come because you feel you have to. We should desire to be here so that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We need to be here for encouragement. And I lack in this because sometimes I'll leave after a meeting, I'm in the truck. But I do notice there's many that linger and talk to one another and encourage one another and ask how your week is going. You know, we're a family. Unfortunately, I'm not close to some of my siblings because they're a distance away, and it's hard to maintain relationships, long-term, long-distance relationships, but we're here as a community of people. We have each other. We see each other. We can see each other 4 or 5 times a week, so we have a sense of community, don't we? And we need that's from God. And even though some of you rub me the wrong way, and I'm sure I rub some of you the wrong way, we are a community. We're God has placed us here together to represent him. And so I think it's important to encourage one another, to be involved in one another's lives. And I think another thing that's very important is after I'm done here, Jesse's going to come back up and he's going to share prayer requests, some from faraway places, but some of our personal needs, some of our immediate needs in your lives and in the lives of some of those that aren't here. And then what we do is we agree on those things and we pray to God in a manner that he hears us because we've come together and we've made verbally made our requests known to him. I think that's very important. To be in the same, kind of be in the same mindset when we pray for those who are sick, those who are in need, and many other things. Another reason we need to be here is because God has said he's going to be here tonight. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm here. He's here. He's in our presence tonight in a special way. As we're as a local body of believers coming together in these four walls, God has promised to be here. That's no small thing. The people that have chosen not to be here, there's some that can't be here, but the people that have chosen not, and I have done it, I've chosen not to be here, I've basically said, God, I'm okay. I don't need you tonight, I'm fine. God has said that he will be here with us. Should make us come because he's promised to be with us. Galatians, I haven't turned to all the scriptures. I will turn to this one. Blessing, there's blessings of God to be had when we come together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. We can do good to one another when we're here. It's a blessing to be here in the presence of each other to encourage one another. There's blessing in that. It can be uplifting. So let's go back to this potluck. All of you are invited to a potluck. I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to bring? What are you going to contribute? Or are you just going to maybe not show up for the potluck? Or are you going to come with a really tasty dish and so that others can enjoy it? You know, fellowship has been likened unto the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, it says, let's just read two verses because I think this is important. I actually quite enjoyed this thought. It's not an original thought. I read it and I thought, that's interesting the way this author has put this. John chapter 17, verse 11. And now, this is the Lord Jesus. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. He's comparing believers to the Trinity. As God the Father and God the Son are one, we ought to be one. It's a pretty high calling, because we know that when the Lord Jesus says, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That meant that everything that God the Son did, God the Father, there was never disunity there. Now, mind you, there is disunity in the local assembly. We know that. But we can strive to maintain the unity here. It takes effort. It takes effort to maintain what God has given us in the local assembly. It's work. It's not easy. We all come from different backgrounds, all different personality traits. Some are aggressive like me. Some are a little bit more submissive. It's just all kinds of different things. But strive to keep the unity. That's what he's at. Because there was always unity in the Godhead. There was never disunity there. And so that's comparative to what we are as partners with him. I wrote this down. The local assembly, which was bought by the Lord Jesus, functions properly when we are active. That's the design for us to be active. And I'll end with this little challenge. I'm thinking about the breaking of bread. and I'm just going to say it, and I might get, people might not like it, but I believe that the women in our meeting are starving for leadership. They're starving for leadership. They're starving for men to take their place. They're starving for men to lead us in worship. And we know that it's scriptural that the women are to be silent in the meeting. Their prayers are heard. But when we men step up to the plate, and that means preparation, that means being actively thinking about the Lord Jesus and his death. And unfortunately, some men are just, we have a pretty average run of guys that get up. You don't have to be a preacher to get up at the breaking of bread. I talked to a young man just the other day, and we had open conversation, and he was saying, well, it is tough, a little shy. And I get that. I get it's intimidating. But it's not a preach. It's just a prayer. It's just a word. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that we would have one right after the other getting up if we were preparing, men were preparing their hearts. Don't be silent. You don't have to be a preacher. And I challenge you, I don't know if that's a devotional thought or not, but I challenge the men to step up. I challenge myself to be a leader in my home spiritually and to be a leader in the meeting, whatever capacity. And especially, I challenge you to get up at the breaking of bread service and thank the Lord Jesus. Are you thankful? Let me ask, are you thankful that you're saved? God's assembly, God's design, the early church came to break bread, to remember the Lord Jesus. Men, the challenge is out there. Prepare your heart to give thanks. Lead us in worship. And the women, I believe, I think it'll change. I think it'll be a different dynamic. Not to say that our breaking of bread isn't good, but I challenge men that don't get up. Get up and pray. It's so encouraging for a young man or even someone that hasn't gotten up to get up and share their love for the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for this book that consistently challenges us. Father, may we be encouraged that we are part of a bigger picture. We're part of a work, your work. Help us to maintain it. Help us to be here. Help us to keep one another accountable. And Father, help us to look forward for your return. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. And it's his name we pray.